I greet everyone in Jesus' precious name this morning. I'm very thankful to be able to gather again to worship. What a privilege we have to come together with other Christians, people, loved ones, and to worship together. The title of my message today is a saying that I remember as a young man in my life. It was fairly popular back in the late 90s, early 2000s, I think. We would see this slogan quite a bit, and it was simply, "What would Jesus do?" I haven't seen it much recently, but there was bumper stickers, WWJD, and we all knew what they meant. We didn't talk about it a lot, but it was maybe a little thought-provoking at times. I recently read a book. The title of it was In His Steps. Some of you may have read it. It was the story of an entire congregation and community that started to follow this thought, what would Jesus do? There was people involved in this congregation that were prominent businessmen, newspaper editors, and professional singers. And they all took this pledge seriously, and there was a lot of changes in these people's lives. Changes for the good. They made sacrifices. They did not do what popular opinion dictated that they should do. And the results in that story was a blessing to me as I read it. I think it was set in the late 1800s, perhaps, so it was a bit of a different lifestyle than we are accustomed to today. What they did find in this story was a battle against Satan and the powers of darkness, and I think that will always be the result of following Jesus. It just is. It's inevitable. For a text, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. I think I'll read verse 1 through 20, perhaps. Ephesians chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of Christ, of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not once be named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, or unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ, and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest for the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See there then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what goes through your mind when you think of decisions. What would Jesus do? I wrestled with it for a while, and I almost felt foolish even using it because it's so obvious what he would do sometimes. But I think it warrants a discussion or a a way of it's a way of thinking that can provoke you to progress in your Christian life. Coming back to verses 1 and 2, I'd like to read them again in the ESV. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Imitators. What does one do when one imitates someone else? We do exactly what they do. We watch, we observe, and we do things just the way that person does. Be ye imitators of God, of Jesus. If we are imitators of Jesus, we will make decisions based off of what Jesus taught us. Let's look a bit at the tradition, the Jewish tradition of the rabbis and his disciples, if you will. Jesus and his disciples is a perfect picture of the Jewish tradition of following a rabbi. I don't know, did the rabbi choose the young man or did the young man choose the rabbi? But it was an intense relationship where these young men followed the rabbi. And somewhere I recall hearing someone speak on this, or did I read it somewhere? I'm not sure, but you never, ever stepped ahead of the rabbi as you were walking along the path. You always followed. There's a term in the dust of the rabbi. You were right on his heels. You mimicked everything he did as a young man. You watched what he did. You watched his habits. You observed the way he gets up in the morning and has his quiet time with the Lord. You watched everything he did. You listened to his discussions and his debates with other rabbis. And you became a lot like the rabbi you followed. That's how they learned the Jewish customs. That's how they learned a lot of life, was following the rabbi. And so in respect to that, this setting where Jesus chose his disciples is just the way they did things then. It's a good picture of people learning from, or men learning from their rabbi. I would suggest that's a perfect way, a good way for us in our mentoring program sometimes that we talk about. You follow someone, you spend time with that person, you learn from him. Much like a father-son relationship, it is inevitable we will learn things from our fathers, whether they be good or bad. We will pick them up. We learn a lot of good things from our fathers. It's a little sobering when you become a bit older and you find yourself a father and you notice that there are people, little people, that tend to do the same things I do. They use the same words I use. They respond much the same way as I do sometimes. Sometimes we would like to say, well, I don't really care what my dad thinks. Maybe a bit of an immature response sometimes. I'm going to do what I think is right. But invariably, what dad thinks and what dad says is always in the back of your mind. It just is. It's natural. So looking at what would Jesus do, I think it's only natural that we look to Jesus. What were his responses? And I would like to go back to a question. I have a series of several questions here. The first one I have, and hear me out on this one, is one I came up with, and it is simply, does it matter to me what Jesus would do? In today's world and culture, we are very individualistic. I don't care what he says. This is... So I think it warrants the question, does it matter what Jesus would do? Is it a question? Is it even a question? What if we're totally honest? Do we care what Jesus would have done, or do we just want to do what we think is right? I think the question, does it matter, needs to be absolutely settled in our minds. It's got to be cemented there. It is there to stay. Because our knowledge of who God is and what and how he works hinges on the absolute. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Just some verses that I found that reinforce that in the beginning was God. God always was, God always will be. And we can depend on that. John 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 10:30, I and my Father are one. This is Jesus' words. John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Let's settle this fact before we go further. God is who God says He is. The Scriptures are infallible. They are not up for debate. So therefore, yes, it does matter what Jesus would do. In a world where everything is increasingly questioned, we can and we need to be convinced and settled in our minds that Jesus is who He says He is. And the Bible is the written Word of God. Absolutely, it matters. The next question I have is, how can I know what Jesus would do? If only He were here, we would ask Him. We've got this. We've got this. This is a record of what Jesus did when He was here. It is stories. It is teachings. There's a lot of information on what Jesus would do. Matter of fact, it is just, the whole Bible is just full of Jesus and what He would do. Scripture is full of accounts that tell us what Jesus' response was to people and life. Study the life of Jesus and you will find a pattern of going to the sick, hurt, and the lost outcasts. He was usually involved with a lot of people. We don't know that He really had a job, so a lot of His time was devoted to caring for and teaching people. Is that our way of life today? Do we find the masses, the down, the outcasts? This is where we go. Or do we tend to get wrapped up in life and what needs to be done and taking care of our own, which is all good, but I think we need to balance. 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. Just did several verses of the response of Jesus. He did not have, quote, rights. He submitted to His Heavenly Father's plan of suffering. You want to talk about an injustice? Read the account of Jesus' trial before Pilate. It was rigged. It was corrupt. It was everything you can think of wrong with this. There was no justice served. But what did He do? He answered not a word. Matthew 20, verse 28 also speaks of a reason Jesus came. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give His life a ransom for many. He gave His life. Luke 4:43, and He said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore I am sent. He had a drive, He had a vision for people. He had to go preach the word and share with people. Mark 2:17, when Jesus heard it, He said unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He came for the tax collectors and the publicans, if you will. The Pharisees rejected Him. They didn't have a need. He came for the ones that were sick and needed help. We also, as Christians, have God's Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives. That is how we can know what Jesus would do. That is as personal as following the rabbi. It is always there. Is always, we are right there with it. We do well to listen to the Spirit. Turn to John 14, and I'm going to read several verses there. John 14, verses 15 to 31. Just some of Jesus' words to his disciples before he was killed and before he left them. Some promises as to what's going to happen when he leaves. John chapter 14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, this is the comforter, Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I written unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto my Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I tell you before it came to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of the world cometh, and hath nothing in me. He that hath the world may know that I love, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Just a beautiful section of Jesus teaching here, telling his disciples what's going to happen when he leaves. I think every believer has this comforter, this Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. And that is where all these decisions can go to. What would Jesus do? It becomes very, very basic when we go back to having the Holy Spirit in our lives. Do we believe, or do I believe, that Jesus' way of life is relevant today? What would he do in today's environment? Or are we one of those people that say those ideas, those words wouldn't work today? I hope not. What would Jesus say about the political situation we face in our country today? We are faced with pressure, increasing pressure, to get involved. Do something good. You people have got something good. We need that. You need to vote. Would Jesus be here rallying people to vote? What about these freedom convoys? Would he be involved in these or organizing these protests? These are all questions that we are faced with. I think they're real. Jesus says in John chapter 18, 36, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I would not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence, or it is not here. Once again, I think the answer is rather clear. They have their government here. We have our government. We have our kingdom in heaven. There's a clear call for separation, and I think we do well to go back to Jesus' teachings on this. What would Jesus say about the coronavirus? What would he say about that? What would he say about all the ideas that are out there? I'm just going to take a minute and get a bit personal here. What would he say if a loved one died and you felt left out? Would he demand answers? I don't think he would. What would Jesus say about our pursuit of the American dream? We are entitled to a good job. We are entitled to a safe community. What would he say about buying lots of property and maybe building a nice new home? Maybe even if we get up to a certain level, we would like to have a gate on the driveway so that people just can't just come in uninvited. What would Jesus say? Do you see him, his model on earth, his life here on earth, doing things that way? Or would he move to neighborhoods that have lots of people that are looking for answers? Hurting neighborhoods, broken families, homeless children. Those are the kind of people that Jesus was attracted to. I think we do well to question our dreams. Do we do the right thing? Do we do what Jesus would do, really, when it comes down to it? Do we feel burdened for the lost souls that need answers? What would our church look like if it was full of people living the way Jesus would live? I'd like to think it wouldn't be a whole lot different than what we have here. I appreciate our church that we have here. But if we really take this seriously, would there be some changes? And what is keeping us from making those changes? Does it not boil down to myself? It is not popular to turn your back on good business decisions and walk away because I just don't feel that's the right thing for me to do. You can't always explain it. People won't understand it. Christians will. I remember one time as a young man, I had a, those of you that know me know that I drive truck, and I had a truck before I was married. And I went to service, and I came back home again, and I sold that one and bought a brand new one, and I was going to do this right. But it went several months, and I wanted to go to Choice Books. And I had this new truck, and I knew people were kind of behind me. Like, you go, you're doing this right. And I struggled with it. And the answer to sell that truck and go to service was very, very clear. And I had a potential buyer call me one time, an older gentleman that I knew from the community. I didn't know that he professed Christianity. I didn't know where he stood. And he asked me, he said, I hear your truck's for sale. It's brand new, isn't it? And I said, yeah, several months old. And he said, what's wrong with it? I said, nothing. Well, why are you selling it? And then I just told him this whole story. And he told me, he says, don't ever let anything like this get in between you and what you feel you need to do for the Lord. He says, I understand now why you want to sell. He says, I'll buy your truck. And I said, well, I'm sorry, I already have a buyer for it. But that I never forgot his conversation with me and his encouragement to me to never let those right decisions get between you and what you know you need to do. In that book, there were stories of people. There was a newspaper editor that had a very successful publication that went out every day. And he was convicted that he needs to change his content from the stories and the gossip and the gory stories that people wanted to read to nothing but things that honor and edify and build up. And his publication took a serious hit. Advertisers pulled their dollars back, and he almost didn't make it. There was a cost involved, folks. It is not always easy. It doesn't always pay. But it is always the right choice to make. To make a choice with the thought of what would Jesus do? What would he do in 2022? I guess that's my thought I want to leave with you is, as you face the future, as you make decisions, as you have hurts, what would Jesus do? Would he have... I think you know the answer. It's encouraging to me to realize that we have the Holy Spirit and we have those answers. It's ourself. It's our fallen nature that comes in the way most times. But I encourage you to take an honest picture or an honest look at your lives. Are you where Jesus wants you? And if not, why not? With these thoughts, let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you today for the service that we were able to enjoy. Thank you for your word and your example for our lives that we can follow even today in 2022. Help us to never forget that you are the perfect example. Thank you for your Holy Spirit's presence in our lives to show us the way. As a rabbi showed his disciples, help us to stay in the dust of the Holy Spirit, as it were, and to follow you and never lose sight of you. Thank you for each one that's here. I just ask that you would go with us. Pray that you would protect us. Bless our week as we do life as you would want us to. Thank you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.